This show is presented in part by Dodge. Domestic, not domesticated. Auto News. Exclusive interviews. Real world test drives. It's your turn to step into the driver's seat. This is The Drive. Now, here's automotive expert, television and radio host, Alan Taylor.
Well, hey, everybody. Thanks for joining us. Today, we have our first guest up from J.D. Power & Associates, Dave Sargent. He is the Vice President of Automotive, Global Automotive. Gosh, I mean, Dave, you've moved up in the world, or maybe you were already there. That's a big title.
No, it's the same title I had.
Okay. Oh, that's too funny. Well, you guys recently did a study for the J.D. Power's 2018 U.S. Appeal Awards and for automotive performance, execution, and layout. And, you know, I saw it briefly, but I always like to hear it from the horse's mouth. And maybe you can go through it, because cars are all good these days. It's just level of goodness, right? You know?
It is. So appeal measures really how much somebody is in love with their car 3 months after they bought it. So as opposed to our quality studies where we ask customers, you know, what's gone wrong with your vehicle, here we ask about things like performance, styling, comfort, features, and all the things that make new cars so thrilling to buy. So what we found this year was that the industry is doing frankly, a tremendous job at delivering customers what they want. We saw the best scores ever in the history of the study.
Wow.
And we saw the fastest rate of improvement ever in the history of the study. So the industry as a whole is really coming along and doing a great job. Customers are getting more and more demanding, but the industry is doing a very, very good job of satisfying those demands.
Well, it's interesting. You know, obviously, once you've done something over and over and over and over again, like the light bulb, you finally get it right. And then you start improving it, right? And
right.
And so even today's light bulbs, they have never stopped improving the light bulb. It gets better, more efficient, brighter. You're able to dim it. I mean, just on and on and on. That's what we're same thing we're doing with cars. It took them a long time to get it right, and then when they did, it just starts getting better and better and better. So we kind of hit that tipping point, and now we can start adding comforts and conveniences and safety and, you know, just all of the aesthetics that we personalize our cars with, and that's why we pick one car maker over another. But they don't make bad cars here in the United States anymore. I'm sure around the world there's still probably some crazy things going on in China. But even the Chinese, you know, they're starting to go, well, you better do things right, because in the long run, if you think long-term thinking, you're better off to spend the extra money and do it right. And we're at that point. And so maybe give us some of the top picks of this appeal award.
So, yeah, you're right. I mean, every manufacturer is doing very well by historical standards, but, you know, still some are doing better than others. This year we saw actually Genesis was the top-ranked brand.
Wow.
Overall. You know, obviously new to the market, or, you know, as a brand, they've been in existence a couple of years, just selling a couple of luxury vehicles with, you know, more vehicles to come. And this is obviously Hyundai's luxury brand.
Right.
Porsche continues to do extremely well, as you might expect.
Sure.
They've been at the top of the study really since we first started it back in the 90s. BMW, again, maybe not surprisingly, does very well. Lincoln moved up tremendously. The new Navigator was extremely well received. Actually, it was the best scoring vehicle in the entire industry.
Whoa.
Yeah. So we often find that launch vehicles, so vehicles in their first year, tend to do extremely well in this study. You know, people are excited about them. They're the first one in their neighborhood to have the vehicle. You know, they normally have the newest technology, you know, and all the best features and strong performance. And so, yeah, Lincoln really hit it out of the park with that vehicle, as did Ford with the sister vehicle, the Expedition. That also did very well. So you'll see that, you know, a lot of the premium brands do well, as we might expect. You know, luxury vehicles tend to be, you know, bigger, faster, more comfortable, have more stuff in them.
Sure.
But then when we look at the mass market, we see the domestics performing very well. Chevy and GMC were actually the top two ranked brands, but really, really closely followed behind by Ram, Dodge, and Ford. So five domestics actually took the top five places in the mass market, particularly delivering on large SUVs and particularly large pickups.
Well, you know what? That makes me very happy because, of course, we live in America. We want to see our American car makers kicking some mean butt. Sounds like they're doing it. I happen to, you know, I love all vehicles, but we went through such a rough time with the American car makers a decade or so ago. And to be on top with J.D. Power & Associates. J.D. Power & Associates, by the way, everybody, if you don't know what they are, that is the voice of the customer, of you. We're going to take a little break, Dave. When we come back, let's talk about the newest study you guys have out, too, the technology study. But if you want to find out a little bit more about the appeal study, go to jdpower.com, jdpower.com. This is The Drive. We'll be right back with more. On the track, even 1/100th of a second decides who wins and who loses. That's why Bridgestone uses advanced racing technology to create their fastest street legal replacement tire yet. The new Bridgestone Potenza RE71R. Engineered with an innovative hydro evacuation surface and unique tread compounds, the new Potenza RE71R is designed to give you maximum grip and ultimate cornering on or off the track. Bridgestone is changing the game in tire performance. I'm Alan Taylor. This is The Drive. Thanks for joining us. Don't forget, check out my Facebook page, The Drive with Alan Taylor. That's me. And you can find out more shenanigans that I'm up to in the car crazy world. Dave Sargent joining us, Vice President, Global Automotive for J.D. Power. JDPower.com, the voice of the customer. So we just got done talking about the 2018 U.S. Appeal Award. You can find out more at jdpower.com. But now a new study just came out about technology, and this is a big one for cars. We need more genius bars, if you know what I'm saying, because technology is like way over our heads. Some of these cars have more technology than the things that go to the moon, if you know what I'm saying. And seriously, they do. So what kind of a study did you guys do?
So again, this is a study of 2018 model year vehicles after 90 days of ownership. And here we're looking at the usage of technology within the vehicle. So how the customer uses the technology, what they like and don't like, what they have stopped using because it's too frustrating, things that may be annoying to them or surprising to them, whether they want it on their next vehicle. And so, it looks at mostly the cockpit, so the infotainment systems, but also particularly the driver assistance systems, what we call ADAS, which includes, blind spot detection, right, collision avoidance, lane keep assist, type of thing.
They call those nannies, nannies,
right. And, some people like to be nannied and other people don't like it so much.
Right.
These technologies do a good job of helping avoid accidents. A lot of the respondents to the study say, yes, these technologies are helping us avoid, either serious accidents or certainly fender benders. But also they're expressing some level of annoyance if the alarms go off all the time.
Right.
That can be annoying. If the customer feels that the warnings are unpredictable, that can surprise them. So, I did this yesterday and the alarm didn't go off, and I did it today and it did go off. So, what gives? And for the automakers, they really need to get these technologies to a place where consumers can trust them.
Right.
As we move towards a future where no doubt we'll be driving fully automated vehicles, or not driving them but sitting in fully automated vehicles, we need to get these foundational technologies set and people comfortable with them. Before we take their steering wheels away and take their pedals away. So, there's a lot of work to do. But again, the auto industry is, there's a lot of smart people and they're working very hard at this.
I just took a trip in a brand spanking new C350E, which is a Mercedes-Benz new hybrid, smaller, kind of, I guess we'll call it an affordable Mercedes hybrid. I like the car, but there were some things about it that just bugged the living tar out of me. I'm telling you, it was like, oh, you know, and I guess that's what this is all about, is you guys do studies on people that have bought these cars. And this is obviously a very comprehensive study. Again, I'm going to send people to jdpower.com to find the study on technology, because you may find your car on there and find that other people don't like it. And guess what? The automakers need to get this feedback, don't they, Dave?
They do. And so, yeah, I mean, our business is informing consumers, but also informing the automakers themselves. So they get the results in great detail and can learn, yeah, how they're performing, how their competitors are doing. And, yeah, by benchmarking competitors, in the end, everybody ends up, you know, delivering a better car to their customers. So, yeah, this is important information. One of the other things that comes out of the study is there's this really quite brutal battle going on between the automakers and the phone manufacturers or the software providers to kind of grab consumers' attention. And we see this in things like voice recognition and navigation, where a lot of consumers are giving up on the vehicle's own systems and just simply using their smartphone instead. particularly with the advent of phone mirroring, which, you know, people would know as Apple CarPlay or Android Auto or Mirror Link. You can plug your phone in and your Apple Maps or Google Maps shows up on your vehicle screen. And for a lot of consumers, like, well, that's exactly what we want.
Yeah, that's exactly what I love, because then I'm familiar with it. All right. Dave Sargent, Vice President, Global Automotive, J.D. Power, jdpower.com. That's a J and a D and the word power.com. Check out the technology study and the J.D. Power 2018 U.S. Appeal Award at jdpower.com. Thank you so much, Dave. Appreciate it. Good stuff. J.D. Power's the best.
You're very welcome. Talk to you soon.
All right. We'll take a little break. Come back with more of The Drive. I'm going to get run over by a commercial right now. My dad is a proud doer, always building, repairing, or maintaining something. He relies on Craftsman tools, and I do the same. Today, Craftsman mechanics tools, metal storage, and lighting are available from your favorite retailers. But that's only the beginning. A full line of retooled and refined products are on the way. Find your favorite store at craftsman.com and stay tuned for more big news from this trusted American brand.
Welcome back to The Drive. Now, here's automotive expert, television and radio host, Alan Taylor.
And joining us right now is my buddy, Stephen Cole Smith. I know he writes for, Auto Week, Racer.com, Automobile. Where do we send people, Steve? Just curious, because, you know, got to have that information.
Well, it's, I write for whoever pays me. I'm sort of a prostitute when it comes to that matter. Just hand me $25 and we go into the dark room and you come out with a story. So
right. $25, what a deal.
Yeah.
You raised your rates, though.
That's negotiable. Now, I mean, I can go as low as 20, but it's, okay. I do have my pride.
On the barrel head, though, right?
Absolutely, yeah. It's got to be COD.
All right. So,
as you know from your experience in Nevada.
Well, I know that last time I owed you $10, man, you chased me for a year for that. Notice how I ran.
Yeah.
All right, so we got done talking about how much people love their cars and technology, all these studies from J.D. Power, and now the nominees for the North American Car of the Year. Are you actually on that team of people?
Yes, I am.
Wow.
I've been on there for a long, long time, so I think we picked the Model T as our first car of the year. A lot of us have been doing this for quite a while, but it's, as you know, it's I think 50 plus journalists in North America, independent, so it's not like a publication, and there's always some talk of, will you pick that car because they're going to do a lot of advertising. But since none of us actually control that part of the advertising, it's basically just the cars and trucks we like best. Cars and trucks and SUVs. It has been expanded in the last few years from just the car and truck of the year to adding an SUV because, as you know, there's SUVs can be truck-based or they can basically be a station wagon and everything in between. So it's kind of hard to categorize those. But, yeah, we've got to get our ballots in for the finalists by Monday. And that's 12 cars and 12 sport utility vehicles from a list that they just sent us. There's only three eligible trucks this year, the Silverado, the Sierra, and the Ram 1500. In October, we'll actually head up to Michigan, to Ypsilanti, to drive the finalists. And then the actual winners will be announced at, I guess, the last North American auto show that will actually be held in the middle of winter in Detroit.
Really? So they have actually announced they're going to be moving it, the auto show,
I believe they have, yeah. I think it's they're moving it. They're trying to move to where it's right next to the Detroit Grand Prix. I don't know if that's been done or not, but it's kind of a done deal that they're going to be moving it away from the, you know, right at the first of the year, like generally the week after the first of the year, which is not a great time to encourage people to come to Detroit.
Hey, well, and I understand that a lot of the automakers have actually pulled out of the Detroit Auto Show. I mean, that's Motor City. That was always the biggest one. I think now it's either New York, L.A., or Chicago as far as the biggest, most important one. I think maybe all three vying for that same position.
Yeah, I think L.A. has probably picked up a lot of the slack that Detroit used to have. But I tell you, Alan, there was a time when you would go, as you remember, and it was a four-day deal for journalists. You showed up on a Sunday, and you were lucky to get out by Wednesday because there was so much stuff going on.
Right.
But this last year, basically it was Monday, and by the time lunch shows up, you're probably ready to go to the airport. There was just not much going on.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
It's sad to see a show fall that fast and that far, but
right.
You know, it is what it is. Like you said, a lot of the companies just don't want to come anymore.
Well, and I don't know what the reason is, but I guess if I had to throw out a kind of a gut feeling, I have never had an easy time at the Detroit Auto Show. It just seems like management was tough. I think the automakers were getting just reamed for what they had to pay. I just think that it was a tough show. The weather didn't make it any easier. You know, there's a shift happening. Shift happens, as they say.
Right.
And L.A., I mean, if you go to the L.A. Auto Show, the weather's fantastic in the middle of winter, you know, no matter what. And they must be a whole lot easier to deal with. That's all I can say, because, like you said, that seems to be the biggie right now.
Yeah, it's definitely all the above, plus the fact that the Detroit is kind of the show for the big three. So a lot of the imports are smaller manufacturers. They know they're going to get overshadowed by some of the big displays. So, you know, when
yeah.
the Porsches and Subarus and guys like that just don't want to come anymore. Plus, some of the other shows are more dealer-oriented. So, you know, the dealer a lot of the times will actually pick up the slack and help pay some of the expenses and man the booths to where they've got people out there. And even though Detroit is technically a dealer show, the dealers don't really participate that much when it comes to some of the imports. So, like you said, it's been tough. You know, I don't know that the people of Detroit, I mean, it's not our show in terms of us being journalists. It's the show for the people who want to come buy cars. So I don't know how they're going to react to it. So
right.
It's kind of sad because it is a tradition.
Well, like you said, it is the home of the big three. And as the automakers are moving around more and more to Alabama and Tennessee and God knows where, all over the place, the other shows are easier for them to do. The expense of doing a show like that, it runs into the millions and millions and millions of dollars.
Yeah, so. And for journalists, the Detroit show has always been so busy that you cannot see everything. There would be a press conference every 45 minutes, and if you want to stop and look at a car or talk to somebody, that means you miss the next press conference. So you'd have to pick up the slack at the end of the day.
I would think they would be saying that they were too legit to quit. What do you think?
Could be.
They're not going to quit. They're just going to move.
Just going to move, yeah.
All right, we're going to take a little break, come back with more of Stephen Cole Smith. He is the Motorsports Man of the Year in my book. I got to get you a little trophy for that. We'll take a break. It's The Drive. We'll be right back.
Because you don't want none. I hustle for my muscle, and you look weak, son. Yeah, I'm going for all that I can get.
Stay tuned. There's more of The Drive with Alan Taylor.
You can spend this fall hauling bags of leaves to the curb or hauling. Hurry in to your local Dodge dealership for great deals on Dodge Charger with 292 horsepower and 30 mpg highway. Dodge Challenger, the most affordable V8 in its class. And Dodge Durango. This fall, get great deals at your local Dodge dealership.
EPA estimated MPG. Actual results may vary based on Ward's Middle Specialty segment. Dodge is a registered trademark of FCA US LLC.
Welcome back to The Drive. Now, here's your host, Alan Taylor.
Talking with Stephen Cole Smith. He writes for Racer.com, Automobile Magazine, Auto Week. He's on the committee for the North American Car of the Year. It is a huge list of vehicles this year. There's a whole bunch of my friends on there. I am not. I like to stay on the sideline. I'm the cheerleader. I'm not so much a journalist the way he is. I'm more of a entertainer. Can I say that? Is that fair? Am I like cutting myself down or something? I don't even care. I don't give a crap.
Hey, you've got the radio show, and I'm just sitting here in a bedroom in Florida, so I think you probably made the right career choice.
Oh, dear. Well, I'm picturing that, oddly enough. Anyway,
believe me, you do not want to picture it.
What are the nominees for the North American Car of the Year? Can you just blow through them? Because I know there's a ton of them.
Yeah. Well, like I said, there's only three trucks, the Chevy, the GMC, and the Dodge. But we've got a pair of the list on SUVs and cars a piece down to 12. And the criteria is they either have to be new or substantially changed. It's not like, when I was at Car and Driver for the 10 best, we would have, it would be the Honda Accord would be one of them every year, even though it wasn't changed because that wasn't the criteria for that.
Ah.
It would be the 10 cars of the year. So
gotcha.
These to be nominated have to have some kind of a change or they're new. So just like you said, blow through the list for cars. Aston Martin Vantage, Aston Martin DBS Super Leggera, Audi A6, Audi A7, Audi A8, Buick Regal Tour X, Genesis G70, Honda Insight, Hyundai Veloster, Kia Forte, Kia K9000, Lexus LS500, Lexus ES350, Mazda 6, Mercedes-Benz CLS class, Mercedes-Benz A-class, Nissan Altima, Nissan Leaf, Toyota Avalon and the Avalon Hybrid, Toyota Corolla Hatchback, Volkswagen Jetta, Volvo S60, and Volvo V60. And there's cars in there that you and I haven't driven yet, so we kind of got to guess. I'm not driving the Altima for a couple more weeks. I've got a couple of cars that I've been in, but I haven't been in all these cars. I don't think anybody has yet. So some of those we just have to guess at from what we've read about the changes.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting to me that, those cars, that's a huge list of, all new cars are significantly changed,
We're on the biggest list I've seen for a year, yeah.
Wow.
You want to run through the SUVs? There's a lot of them, too.
Yeah.
I'm really surprised.
No, I'm interested because, this is where we're at.
Okay, start with the Acura RDX, Audi Q8, BMW X4, BMW X5, Cadillac XT4, Ford EcoSport, Jaguar E-Pace, Jaguar I-Pace, Jeep Wrangler, Hyundai Kona, which I'm driving this week, Hyundai Santa Fe, Infiniti QX50, Mitsubishi Eclipse Cross, Mitsubishi Outlander PHEV, Mercedes-Benz G-Class, Nissan Kicks, Porsche Cayenne, Subaru Ascent, Subaru Forester, Toyota RAV4, and finally, Volvo XC40. So, man, that's we've got to narrow it down to 12 apiece on those, three for the trucks, and then that's what we'll be driving when we head up to Michigan in October.
I drove the 2019 Infiniti QX50 Essential front-wheel drive, so it wasn't an all-wheel drive version, 55,285 as tested. We lived in the car for a week. I mean, not literally slept in it, but, just kind of used it as our car, wife and I.
Don't be ashamed if you had to sleep in the car.
All right, only two nights. Yeah. But the point is that it's very comfortable even when sleeping. No, I mean, it was a really nice car. Infiniti has done a fantastic job with their, overall vehicles lately. They're just really coming on strong, or maybe they've been coming on strong for a long time, but I really liked it. That's all I can tell.
Yeah, they've just the same way with Lexus and Acura. They've got to base what they have on, in Acura's case, Honda, Lexus's case, Toyota. Well, Nissan has got some good products. So consequently, Infiniti, when they take, you know, a base platform from Nissan and kind of make it more deluxe, like you said, they've got some great stuff. Infiniti got a really slow start compared to Lexus way back in 1990.
Right.
And they've been kind of fighting back ever since. And I think they're right there with Lexus right now in terms of what they're making and what they're selling. And maybe not quite there with reputation yet, but I think that's coming pretty soon, too.
It's interesting. I'm looking here at the options on this vehicle. Sensory package, okay, all kinds of really nice stuff, you know, the things that make you more comfortable, heated seats,
right,
and, you know, just a kind of a, just all the cool stuff. And then we go into the Pro Assist package, backup collision intervention, distance control assist, intelligent cruise control, rear cross traffic alert. And then for an additional $2,000, that was $550. Proactive package is the Pro Pilot Assist, Steering Assist, Intelligent Cruise Control with Full Speed Range and Hold, Blind Spot Intervention, Lane Departure Warning, Lane Departure Prevention, High Beam Assist. I mean, it's like this list of intelligent stuff.
Yeah, it makes you sound like you're starting with an engine and a steering wheel and four tires and everything is optional. But,
no, but it's,
I mean,
got
this little Hyundai Kona is the smallest Hyundai SUV, I think, and I looked at the list price on that, and it's just under $30,000.
Right.
The Jeep Wranglers that we drove out on the Rubicon, you know, some of those were $53,000. So
yeah,
they're, you know, there's a pretty healthy price for some of these new vehicles out there that apparently people are paying. Maybe it's because they've got good trade-ins. I'm not sure, but there's you know, there's some pretty good sticker prices that you pull them out of the glove compartment where we usually find them, and sometimes you're a little bit taken aback by what the grand total is.
No, I agree. And here's the other thing. Financing and leasing options are amazing. And then soon, the access economy, like Book by Cadillac, where you don't actually buy a car, you just pay a monthly payment. It's like $1,500 a month, and you get the car. And guess what? If you're driving a CTS, Cadillac CTS, and you want to have a sporty weekend, and maybe you call them and say, hey, I want a CTS-V, I want a V8, you know, manual transmission car, or I want a Cadillac Escalade, and they'll swap cars with you, and you just keep right on going until you're ready for your next Cadillac. The thing is, it's a little limited with Cadillac because they only have a number of vehicles, right? But imagine if and when FCA, Fiat Chrysler Automobiles, do that, because they have a huge line from Jeep, like you just talked about, all the way to Maserati Alfa Romeo, and, you know, a Demon or a Hellcat would be in that. Of course, they don't make Viper anymore.
Ram
pickup trucks. Exactly.
Sure.
So as more of these car companies do it, Porsche actually is doing it too. It's called Porsche Pilot Program. You make a payment, and it includes everything. Everything. Well, not gas, but includes insurance, includes maintenance. Pretty amazing stuff. So the world is changing. That's called the access economy, by the way. Let me take another break. We got one more segment with you because too much to talk about. Stephen Cole Smith, everybody. The man does a lot of motorsports reporting. Today we're just talking about cars. Maybe he'll give us a little update on what's going on this weekend in the world of motorsports. But we're not done talking cars, trucks, SUVs. He is on the committee of the North American Car and Truck and SUV of the Year. I wonder how many years they're going to be making cars as Ford is kind of pulling out of that market. You know? It's going to be the SUV and truck of the year pretty soon. We'll take a break. It is The Drive.
Stay tuned. There's more of The Drive with Alan Taylor on the road ahead.
Have you ever tried to plan a vacation and the hotel costs, airfare, and pet sitter all add up to one big never mind? Well, it's time to embrace the adventure and go RVing instead. GoRVing.com is your one-stop shop for all things RV camping. Browse the different types of RVs, find a rental agent or dealer near you, and compare the costs. Explore more than 16,000 RV parks and campgrounds nationwide, and even plan your menus for the trip. Find out what you've been missing at GoRVing.com. That's GoRVing.com. Well, you're listening to The Drive. I'm Alan Taylor. Today we're talking with Stephen Cole Smith, a whole bunch of my friends, every weekend talking cars, cars, trucks, SUVs, motorsports, the access economy, you know, whatever it is that helps us get our vehicle of our dreams, you might say.
Well, you're You're telling me stuff I don't know about this access economy. I guess it's because I have no economy and no access to any economy down here. So, we keep thinking of buying a car as the way it's been for the last 50 years. You go into a car dealership and a guy with white shoes and a white belt tries to sell you something that you may or may not want. But right. You're telling me that you're buying stuff without really buying it, to the point where if you get tired of something, you can swap it out, or if you need a truck and you're buying a car, you can get a car for the weekend. I mean, that's amazing to me.
Well, you know what? I'll tell you what. I learned about this through my 22-year-old son, who wanted to buy a new camera, and he wanted all these lenses, and he wanted a drone. And he tells me about this website called it's called Parachute, but it's even spelled wrong. It's Parachute without the E on the end, so it's like Parachut, and Parachut.co. So if you know, it's not .com. It's Parachut.co. And what it is, it's part of this access economy. And so what happens is you go on and you pay like a $99 a month. And you can use whatever they have in their inventory. And then so other people are going, well, I'm not using this lens, so I'll send it to Parachute, and they'll, in essence, lend it out to somebody, right? And while they're lending it out to my son, maybe, they're earning a little money on something they own. So, I don't know if you know it or not, but there are more mini storage units in America than there are Starbucks and McDonald's combined. So people have junk laying around. So the access economy gives other people access to things they want that you may have, and you earn money on it. And so now the car industry is looking at that going, geez, how many people have motorhomes that are laying there that they could like Airbnb? Well, that's Parachute, yeah. Right? So,
well, I have cats, Alan. Is there any market for excess cats?
Well, if they're friendly cats and somebody's going to be home for the weekend and they just want a friend, I know that this would be an important thing. So I'll send this to Parachute and see if they want.
I'm logging on to Parachute.co or whatever it is.
Right. Parachute. It's Parachute.
Very cool.
And here's the thing. What's good about it for younger people is that if they pay, let's say they have to pay, $500 a month to be able to have a boat, a motorhome, a car, the camera, the gear, whatever it is, it's like a point system, and you can use your points. It is how the young people, Steve, not you and me, the young people are doing things. They want to access it, but they don't care about owning it the way you and I got. We got to own stuff, right? They don't care. They just want to use it. They want to have the holiday weekend in a tent trailer. They're going to go down, and maybe they need a truck to pull it with. So,
I think the template for that has kind of been the airplane business, because a lot of people I know have airplanes, and they lease them back maybe to a school, or they just lease it in general to somebody that's like part of a flying club. They own it, but then they're getting a lot of help paying for it. So it sounds like it's kind of a breakaway from that.
Yeah, well, it is, and it also is a play on, I guess, the subscription model, right, with your phones.
Right,
You're always going to pay a phone fee, you might say, because the phones keep getting smarter and smarter, and you got to have that next new one, and your battery starts going goofy, and you're like, I'll just upgrade. And so, we're getting more used to this kind of stuff. But back to our original conversation about, these $55,000, 2019 Infiniti Q50, you can finance them longer. I bought a warranty package for my Dodge Demon that was as much as, some people pay for their whole car. But it's a bumper-to-bumper 96-month warranty on a Dodge Demon. Hell yes, I'm going to buy it. It was $2,200.
Man, that's, knowing you and knowing, your 8 million horsepower Demon, that's a steal because you'll be putting transmissions in that thing, not because there's anything wrong with them, but just because it's a Dodge Demon, and it's that fast, and it's that much wear and tear on stuff that normally, 300 horsepower is a lot. You've got way more than that, so stuff's going to wear out.
Well, and I did the same thing. I bought a big Ram crew cab dually, truck, four-wheel drive, and I'm going to be pulling trailers around with that. I don't want to be stuck on the side of the road. I don't want to be sitting in a service department, wondering what that bill's going to be. I know what it's going to be. I paid for it in advance for 96 months. I did the same thing on that. I don't know if it was, maybe it was a little bit more on the Demon. Maybe it was $2,400 or $2,600, but whatever it was such a bargain, because if you factor it into your payment, it's like, what is it? Like, $25 a month or something to know that you have a bumper to bumper warranty.
I had a Dodge Ram last week that's just like the one you're talking about, with a Hemi and four-wheel drive and all that, it was $63,000, which is a lot, but I did not want to give that back.
I know.
I could happily drive that truck for the rest of my days.
So. I'm telling you, the trucks these days, as a matter of fact, I was standing in the shower this morning thinking to myself, if I had to get rid of everything and keep one, believe it or not, I think it would be my truck. We'll take a break, come back, and find out about what's going on in the world of motorsports. Stephen Cole Smith, I'm Alan Taylor. This is The Drive. Don't forget, check out our Facebook page, TheDriveWithAlanTaylor.com, and on the Facebook as well, The Drive with Alan Taylor. I did that backwards, but it doesn't matter. You'll find me if you really want to. We'll be right back.
Don't miss the latest auto news, videos, and real-world reviews. Find us online at TheDriveWithAlanTaylor.com.
There are many words you could use to describe the new Kia Stinger GT. Stunning, stylish, sporty. The word breathtaking, however, isn't just an adjective. It's a warning. Because while the ability to go 0 to 60 in 4.7 seconds might take your breath away, going 60 to 0 with powerful Brembo brakes will help you catch it again. The 2018 Kia Stinger GT, fueled by youth. Stinger GT rear-wheel drive using launch control with factory-equipped 19-inch wheels. Results may vary. Do not attempt. Always drive safely.
This is The Drive with Alan Taylor.
And my buddy Stephen Cole Smith is here. You can find his writings in Automobile Magazine, automobilemag.com, autoweek.com, racer.com. If you read a story that Stephen Cole Smith has written, you read it twice and go, God, that was good. You are one fine man and one fine writer, brother. I really appreciate you.
I appreciate that so much. And I got one thing I got coming up in automobile I want to plug, and it's I think I mentioned it, the Jeep Rubicon Trail trip, where I had not done that since 1992 was the last time I did it. I had to call Chris Pruce, who you probably remember was a PR guy for Chrysler years ago, and say, when was that? And he said, summer of 92, one of the best trips ever, was a message I got back. So did it this year, Rubicon Trail. It's kind of between, up near Reno, between Nevada and California. You touch both. One of the toughest trails in the world, I guess. And I tell you, there was a lot of us. We ended up camping out one night. What a great trip. The Rubicon Jeep, if you need to just go off-road, well, I don't have to tell people. People know that. People that are Jeep Wrangler fans know there's nothing else that can top that vehicle off-road. And, man, if you put the four-door on there, this is the biggest surprise I had, Alan. The first day we had the two-door, and I thought this was going to be a lot better off-road. But, you know, as you know, the four-door is better on the road. Just the opposite. The four-door was better off-road and on-road. So that was the biggest surprise takeaway from that trip for me.
Well, I'll say this. You can drive a Jeep and go anywhere, even if you're a complete idiot, because there's some nannies there that'll keep you safe. But you can also kill yourself if you're a complete idiot. So idiots, please don't do it, you know?
NASCAR-wise, we've got the Brickyard. The Brickyard used to be, I think, during August. They moved a little bit later now. The Big Machine Vodka 400 at the Brickyard, Sunday, September 9th, 2 o'clock on NBCSN at Indianapolis Motor Speedway. NBCSN, I think, has all the races until September 30th for the Charlotte Road Course race, and that's back on NBC. So only a few races on the big NBC now. You've got to have NBCSN if you want to watch it. But that's generally a pretty interesting race. It's kind of a parade, and a lot of the people who are big NASCAR fans went to the Brickyard once and didn't come back because they've been going to oval tracks around the country for years and got to Indianapolis and realized, hey, I've got really good seats, but I can only see one corner. So the only really big racetrack in the country, an oval track, where you can't see everything from one spot, and that's been kind of a problem with Indy. Of course, they've got TVs up, but that's the big NASCAR deal there. Of course, another big story, and I've got that in Auto Week. I think it ran last week. Chevrolet still struggling. 24 races in, they only won twice. That's not good for Chevrolet. You know, we've got Ford and Toyota just dominating it, and probably that's what we're going to be looking at as we get into the chase and toward the finale in Homestead, is between a couple of Ford and a couple of Toyota drivers that are just winning everything.
Well, let me ask you about NASCAR for a second. How is it doing after Mr. France and his escapades?
Boy, great question. I'm putting together a story on how they need a leader really bad, because NASCAR is owned 50-50 by Jim France and Lisa France Kennedy. Both of them worth a little over $2 billion apiece, and neither one really wants to get out in front of the microphone every week and tout NASCAR. So NASCAR really needs a leader right now. The sport's doing okay. I think they are worried about the parity between the three manufacturers. They'd like to get some more manufacturers in, but Dodge, you know, I was at that Dodge Demon Challenger program, and I'm just hearing nothing from Dodge about getting back into NASCAR. So
right.
I'm not sure who a fourth manufacturer would be, but they really need one badly. So basically they're looking for a leader. Well, I don't know that they are for sure, but the consensus is they're looking for a leader because neither Jim France, who is, he's in his 70s, and he likes road course racing, so he kind of runs IMSA. And Lisa France Kennedy, who runs International Speedway Corporation, which is a publicly owned company that owns most of the racetracks these guys go to, neither one want to be the front person for NASCAR. So I don't think we'll be hearing from Brian France for a while. I don't think he was really doing a very good job toward the end anyway. He was phoning it in. The fact that he got arrested for drugs in New York, but it wasn't where the race was. It was at Watkins Glen in New York. He was at the other end of New York. He didn't bother to go to the race that day. So I don't think anybody is looking or hoping that Brian comes back in that same capacity anytime soon.
Yeah. Wow. I guess this song is a little bit appropriate. And maybe he is fearing the Reaper. I don't know.
Jeez. I did not have anything to do with this closing music. NASCAR, just want to let people know.
Stephen Cole Smith, Racer.com, Automobile Magazine, Auto Week. You can find him. His writings are great. He's a great man. Thank you, Steve.
Always a pleasure, my friend.
All right. We'll take a little break, and there's more on the other side right here on The Drive. We'll be right back.
Stay tuned. There's more of The Drive with Alan Taylor on the road ahead.
Where does the love for a car come from? If the car is a Subaru Legacy, the answer would be the symmetrical all-wheel drive. Power goes to all four wheels all the time for optimum grip. The Subaru Boxer engine's lower center of gravity makes the Subaru Legacy more responsive around corners and gets better fuel economy than front-wheel drive competitors. What you have then is a midsize sedan with grip, handling, and enviable fuel economy. It's no wonder it turns people into people who love cars. Love. It's what makes a Subaru a Subaru.
This show is presented in part by Dodge. Domestic, not domesticated. Auto News. Exclusive interviews. Real world test drives. It's your turn to step into the driver's seat. This is The Drive. Now, here's automotive expert, television and radio host,
oh, shut up.
Taylor.
He's talking and saying all these things about me, and it's just not true. I'm just a car guy. Right? BJ Colleen is like, what did you just do? Yes, I stepped all over the announcer guy. He's a recording anyway. He'll never know it.
You hurt his feelings.
Oh, who cares? I like to be outside the box. You know, the box is full of too many things.
You've never been inside a box, Al. That's for
what.
Sure. So.
I will tell you, though, that I spent, the 3 days, Pebble Beach, Concord Elegance, the Quail event, which is like $500 or $700 a person, the Concorso Italiano, and all these people with money are there. You know what I mean? Big money, huge money. And I'm
real
like,
money, yeah.
Yeah, I'm like trying to buy a hot dog for, you know, try to get a discount on it. You know, what is that? $7? No, about $5. I'll give you $5. You know, but anyway.
You only paid $7 for a hot dog there? You got a deal, let me tell you. That's
I know.
A good deal.
It's terrible. But I feel like, you know, it's like I'm staying in this room that is fancy. It's nicer than my whole house, probably costs more. And it's like, I feel like I was like out of my league. And I thought to myself, well, I should dress up. I go, I can't dress. All my clothes come from the thrift store. I don't know what it's like I go on television. I'm wearing thrift store. I paid $1. Remember when I bought a thrift store jacket for $1, went on ABC?
Yes, I
you
do.
Know? It's like, and then I'm with these actual real people. Jay Leno says it's where the billionaires look down their noses at the millionaires, you know?
Yeah, I believe that.
And
totally.
I think it's now the trillionaires looking down their nose at the billionaires. So.
Did you see my friend Rob Ida's Tucker there with all the other Tuckers?
I saw a bunch of Tuckers. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Larry Tucker, Jim Tucker. Are you talking about the Tucker family?
Yeah. No, I'm talking about the Tucker
car. I saw some underslungs, too. You ever heard of an underslung? It sounds like a bad jock strap, you know?
I wouldn't know about that.
Underslung. What a name, you know? Anyway, what have you been up to?
I've been traveling to, you know, back and forth Detroit and a couple other places and I'm in Florida and there's no place like home. Let's put it that way. So.
No doubt. I got into my bed. You know, I scooted the rat poops off my sheets. I laid down in there. Yes, it smells a little bit like mouse urine, but it was still home, you know?
Remind me not to come stay at your house.
I know. My wife's gone. What do you expect? Anyway, no, I had fun. By the way, I played golf for the first time on Pebble Beach. What do they call that? Pebble, whatever they call the golf course there. Anyway, I had fun. But the funny, I got to tell you the story, the funny story. So I golf with a bunch of guys that are golfers. You know what I mean? I'm not a golfer. I'm
Real
a hacker.
Golfer.
Yeah. I'm like a backhoe operator. When I hit the ball, there's a bunch of dirt goes with it. So, and I mean a lot, too, way too much. We get up on the tee and I said, you know, I haven't played golf in 20 years. And the guy looks at me and he thought I was joking. He's kind of smiling. And I go, no, seriously. He goes, you got to be kidding me. And I mean, it's like $500 a head to play golf there. So when it was my turn, there's like all these people waiting because you're right there in the thick of everything, right? And I thought, I am going to hit this ball so hard it's going to go through the building if I slice it to the left. It's going to knock a tree over if it's to the right. And if it goes straight, it's going to be in land in Long Beach, you know? So what did I do? Because when you try too hard in golf, less is more. Right? I tried too hard. I hit that thing so hard. I hit the top of it and it went about 30 feet down to the woman's tees. Right? That's it. That's
embarrassing.
It. And I just started laughing my head off. I go, I told you I haven't played in 20 years. So then I go, so they all laugh at me, right? They're all like, pang. And it's like, it goes down. So I pull out a 7-iron, right? Which I don't even know what a 7-iron is. I said, what's the one I can use? It's not a big honking club thing, you know? And I this time I said, all right, I'm going to really hit this thing. And I hit that ball so perfectly straight that it went farther than their balls did. And I was only about 20 feet ahead of them. You know what I mean? So I felt pretty good about it. But in the rest of the game, you know, I got a birdie, which is one under par. So I hit it on the green in the first shot and then putted it in. So
that's amazing.
I know.
Because golf isn't about the long drive. It's about the putt.
Well, and I, you know, let's talk about that later. That's not, I'm not very good at that.
Hey, my own little golf story. I was at Florida in Jacksonville, and that's where TPC Sawgrass is, which was one of the clubs on the Players Champion.
Yeah.
And they have all the, if you win, you have all, they take a golf club from every winner. So I actually touched Jack Nicklaus's golf club.
Where did you touch Jack Nicklaus? Did you say what?
On the head.
What?
I touched it on the head of the club.
Oh, jeez.
So, yeah.
We'll take a break. We'll be right back.
My head. I couldn't escape the memory of a phone call.
On the track, even 1/100th of a second decides who wins and who loses. That's why Bridgestone uses advanced racing technology to create their fastest street-legal replacement tire yet. The new Bridgestone Potenza RE71R. Engineered with an innovative hydro-evacuation surface and unique tread compounds, the new Potenza RE71R is designed to give you maximum grip and ultimate cornering on or off the track. Bridgestone is changing the game in tire performance.
This is The Drive with Alan Taylor.
And BJ Colleen, automotive expert extraordinaire, makes me feel very inferior. But I also know that she could beat up a guy if she had to. So I would be that guy she would probably beat up.
I would never. Right? You know, we were talking about golf, and golf's kind of like automobiles because there's a driver in both of them, right?
Hey, look at you.
Well, it's related.
Wordsmith, so, you know,
I don't want people to think we're getting off topic talking about golf. But,
you know what? Golf is fun, and I haven't played in 20 years, so let me tell you, I haven't talked about it in 20 years. I know
it is fun. Frustrating, fun.
Yeah, no question. Oh. I know I've got to have Caddyshack in here somewhere.
All right.
I know. What was I thinking?
Kenny Loggins should have been playing it. You missed it.
Opportunity loss. All right. So what have you been driving lately?
So I've been in the 2018 Mazda CX-9, and that's pretty much the top of the line for Mazda. It's their full-size SUV, which they've changed over, and a lot of good things about it, a lot of things I'm not crazy about, but it's a Mazda, you know. They got Mazda doesn't really have a luxury channel like the other manufacturers do, so they kind of have to make do with what they have. So they have, on the CX-9, they've got four different trim levels, and the top trim level is called the signature.
Oh, I found it!
Oh, you did.
Caddyshack! Oh, I'll play that later. All right, continue. So, but, right, you know, okay. You said something funny, though. You said they don't have a luxury channel. I've never heard it called that before. So Lexus for Toyota, Infiniti, Nissan has Infiniti.
Honda has Acura.
Exactly. And so a luxury channel. Yeah. Right. Now, it's interesting.
Just second channels. That's what we call them.
Okay, right? Okay.
You know, when they started off for a luxury division. So,
you know, but wait a minute. Mazda has never had one, have they?
No, they haven't. You know, I think they tried, if you remember, what was it called?
929.
Amati, they were going to call it, if you remember.
Yeah.
Our friend Jack Nerad was going to be in charge of PR for it, and then it ended up being stillborn. It just died a death when the economy went down. Oh. So he had a cool job. He just took people out to lunch. He didn't have any cars to talk about. I remember that lasted for like about a year.
That's
and then it went away.
Another Motor Trend guy, yeah.
Motor Trend editor. But Mazda kind of has a cult following. It's interesting because they don't have a tremendous amount of sales. They've been actually losing market share for a long time. And the past couple of years, they've dropped like 25,000 in sales, you know. So they're trying to find their way. And I think that they have some good cars. You know, they've got the little Miata MX-5, which we all love, right. And the CX-3 and the CX-5, CX-9. So they've got some nice vehicles. I just think that they're not really standing out compared to what everybody else is offering. And now, the Mazda CX-9 has a lot going for it. I mean, it starts at $32,000 for the Sport. The model we drove was the Grand Touring, which is the second from the top, signature, which has a lot of stuff on it. But this one, MSRP was $40,000. S-Test was $44,000. So when you look at it, it's kind of expensive. But it did have a lot of nice features on it, 7-passenger seating. It has their SkyActiv 2.5-liter turbocharged engine, which has good horsepower, 227 horsepower, and 310 pound-feet of torque. So the vehicle really scooted. But it is turbocharged. It is front-wheel drive, which brings up a really bad problem, which we know as torque steer. And everybody that knows a vehicle with turbocharging and front-wheel drive, when you step on, you got a lot of torque. It tends to pull the vehicle to the left or the right, and the torque is steering the car. And this vehicle really does have a noticeable amount of torque steer. Yeah, almost to the point where you're like, wow, that's really bad. Is there something wrong with this vehicle?
Well, but not everybody drives like journalists do, where you mash your foot to the floor every time you leave a light, which I know you don't normally drive like that. But when you're testing a car, you test it to the 10th, number,
Well, if you're trying to get out of the way of something, or you're trying to pass a truck or something along those lines, those of us that know what torque steer is and know how to handle it, you're not going to panic about it. But if you don't, and the car jumps out of your hand and into the next lane, you don't know what can happen. So it's something that, when you've got this much power, you need to balance it. And I think Mazda may need to go back to the drawing board and work on the torque steer a little bit. They're claiming 22 miles per gallon in the city, 28 on the highway from this 2.5 liter. We saw about 23 average, which is not terrible. Some other things about it, I infotainment system is just not my favorite in this vehicle. The screen is too far away.
Matthew Valbuena is the guy that's going to be yelling at you.
And I've told him this before, but it's just the knob. There's too many. You have to do through four different steps just to set the radio. I just want to push a button and set a radio station. Yeah. It's just a little bit. If you remember iDrive with BMW and how everybody yelled about it, this is kind of like it's still BMW's iDrive system.
Mm.
I'm not a big fan of it. I never have been on the Mazdas. I just know that there's a better way to do things. So I would like to see them fix that. Again, it's a comfortable car. There's a lot to offer on the car. Scott hated the fact that the seat back doesn't go back all the way.
All right, hold it. We'll talk more on the other side. Okay. I was driving a Infiniti, basically the competitor to this. We'll compare numbers here on the other side. It's The Drive. We'll be right back.
Stay tuned. There's more of The Drive with Alan Taylor.
My dad is a proud doer, always building, repairing, or maintaining something. He relies on Craftsman tools, and I do the same. Today, Craftsman Mechanics tools, metal storage, and lighting are available from your favorite retailers. But that's only the beginning. A full line of retooled and refined products are on the way. Find your favorite store at craftsman.com and stay tuned for more big news from this trusted American brand.
I'm all right. Nobody but about me. Why you got to give me a fight? Can't you just let it be? I'm all right.
That's right. Little Caddyshack action. I'm feeling like golfing. Oh, yeah. It is The Drive. I'm Alan Taylor with BJ Colleen. I went golfing. Yes, I embarrassed myself. Yes, Pebble Beach is bringing in a truckload of sand and dirt to fill in where they call Alan the Backhoe Taylor. Scooped a little out, but, you know, they said get under the ball. I kept hitting the ball on the top. So I said, that's all right. I'm going to go ahead and scoop a little dirt here.
Did you replace your divots? That's the most important thing.
I didn't have a shovel with me. Anyway, the point is that we're talking about SUVs right now. And you know what's funny is, you know, Ford Motor Company says, yeah, we're not going to build too many cars anymore because everybody wants SUVs. And I noticed even in the one I was driving, the 2019 Infiniti QX50, which I see as a 5-passenger vehicle. The Mazda CX-9 you're driving is a 7-passenger vehicle. But they brag about being able to put golf clubs behind the seat. And it also has a sliding second row so that you can slide the seat all the way back if you don't have anything behind there and be able to cross your legs. So, I mean, it's interesting how they're taking these luxury machines and making sure that they actually don't forget to put luxury in them. How luxurious was the CX-9 Mazda, the Mazda thing you're driving?
Well, you know, the CX-9 SUV crossover, whatever you want to call it, they actually have a signature model that's above this, and that one's got like top-of-the-line leather and all this kind of, you know, extra luxury features on it. But this one actually was pretty well-equipped. It had just about everything you could imagine, you know, leather-trimmed upholstery and heated front seats and aluminum on the interior trim and second-row sunshades and a heated steering wheel. I mean, the list just goes on and on and on. They've right. got all this push-button start and trailer stability assist for when you want to tow and blind-spot monitoring and lane departure warning. I mean, it was pretty well loaded. As I said, they don't really have a luxury division, so they kind of have to go that way, where Infiniti definitely is all about the luxury division. And, you know, overall, it's a decent car, but you got to realize the competition is tough. You've got the Ford Explorer, the new Honda Pilot, the Volkswagen Atlas that you and I both drove and really liked, the Chevy Traverse, which is brand new. So I think Mazda kind of gets lost in the crowd here. I think it doesn't quite have as much as everybody else has. I think it's for people that love Mazda vehicles. You know, the performance, you're not going to find, you know, outside of the torque steer, it's got great horsepower, great torque. You know, it handles well. It's a Mazda vehicle, so it's nice. But it's just a really tough buy when there's so many other vehicles out there.
Yeah,
so
but how much was yours, like $44,000?
It was $44,000. And, you know, you're talking that's expensive. That's about what the others cost. But again, you can get into luxury vehicles, you know, entry-level Cadillacs and entry-level Lincolns and, you know, even entry-level Audis and BMWs for that price. So it's kind of a hard sell because they are going up against not only their own segment, but also against luxury vehicles. So it's just really tough, and they've got a tough job ahead of them. So, I mean, it's a nice vehicle. I probably would not buy it because it's just not for me. I would prefer something with a little bit better, you know, improvement in the torque steer. Their ergonomics needed some improvement, and their infotainment system also needs some improvement too. Just little details like the heads-up display. You can't turn it off. You can turn it off in the central function area, and then when you get back in, it's on again. Mm. And it's just like, you know, it's just little details.
I know, you don't like those, do you? You don't like head-up display stuff.
Only because I have a polarized sunglasses, and they don't do anything anyway. Only the Lincoln has the one where you can use it with polarized lenses. The others, they just disappear. The Kia, the Mazda, they all just go away. So it doesn't really, I don't like them in my line of sight. So, but maybe some people do. I don't know. Do you like head-up display?
It doesn't bother me, but I noticed that I've been with you a number of times and you're like, I can turn this stupid thing off, Trey. You know.
Really? So tell me about the Infiniti.
Mine starts where yours ends. This one has a starting price of $43,350. And the one as tested I had, which had, you know, most everything, $55,000. And this is only a five-passenger vehicle. It is the, what'd you call it, upline or whatever you call it?
The second channel.
Second channel, the premium side of Nissan, which is an Infiniti. So, you know, it's luxury. But, I mean, the technology stuff in this thing was unbelievable. And on top of that, this is the world's first VC turbo engine, which is a production variable compression ratio engine, continuously transforms and adjusts its compression ratio from 8 to 1 to optimize the power to 14 to 1. So class leading fuel economy and power out of a 4-cylinder 2-liter engine. It's amazing the technology they're building into these things. And what they have also called intuitive driver assistant technologies, which mean if you're an idiot, you need all this stuff, you know?
Well, it's basically setting it up for autonomous drive vehicles.
Absolutely.
So they're just slowly, you know, making you get used to these features. So yeah. That's great, though.
I'm just looking at this one. Some of this stuff, I don't even know what it is. I'm looking at the Monroney, by the way. You know, the Monroneys are the window sticker in the car. When you buy a car, it gives you all the information. I remember hearing from Jay Leno. He says, I went to buy a car with my dad. And, you know, he's like, I got it. Radio delete and muffler delete. You could delete the mufflers. I mean, that must have been 1960 or something.
Not anymore.
And the Monroney at the time, which they probably didn't even put in the window at the time, was probably like listed like, you know, the engine, the tires and wheels.
And the price.
It was like, but this is like, I mean, honest to goodness, if I sat here and read this to you, it would take the whole doggone hour, which means that it's time for me to go back to little Kenny Loggins. We're going to take another break, talk on the other side. SUVs. Man, you got to love them. These crossover vehicles, which means technically it's a car shaped like an SUV. Right? An SUV is typically body on frame like a truck. But you can't get luxury until you buy a Lincoln or something like that. And then, woo! We'll take a break.
You can spend this fall hauling bags of leaves to the curb or hauling. Hurry in to your local Dodge dealership for great deals on Dodge Charger with 292 horsepower and 30 mpg highway. Dodge Challenger, the most affordable V8 in its class. And Dodge Durango. This fall, get great deals at your local Dodge dealership. EPA estimated MPG. Actual results may vary based on Ward's Middle Specialty segment. Dodge is a registered trademark of FCA US LLC.
This is The Drive with Alan Taylor.
Well, all I can tell you is the car's day is good. They make such good machines these days. They're safer. They're more comfortable. They'll blow cold air up your butt cheeks, hot air, whatever you want. Heated steering wheel. These things, it's like the best of the best of the best. We're living in the best time of the auto industry right now. You got electric cars, you got diesels, you got gas, you got hydrogen. What else is there? Is anything left? Am I forgetting anything?
Fuel cells.
Yeah, fuel cells. So. Yeah, that's hydrogen. Yeah. But, you know, I'm comfortable. Goodness gracious. But I will tell you, first of all, let me just wrap up on this Infiniti.
Okay.
I really, really liked it. Thank you, Infiniti, for making a fine machine. The price, $55,285. It's up there, but then
it's competitive.
That's what they cost. And I was talking to Stephen Cole Smith, I think earlier, I can't remember who it was, but we were talking about it. The financing is amazing. You can finance these things for 600 years, a penny a week. You know, it's like, it's endless how you can make it to where you can get it. If you want it, if you really want it, they'll come up with a plan for you. But also the warranties are amazing. Roadside assistance. I mean, we really have the best time in history. And then, you know, You can spend $100,000 if you want on a new Lincoln or a Cadillac or a Maserati or an Alfa Romeo SUV or a Volvo SUV or a Jaguar SUV. What do they say? Ferrari may be coming out with an SUV pretty soon.
That hurts.
Lamborghini has an SUV. Rolls Royce has an SUV.
Bentley
has an SUV.
Yep.
It's like SUV. Yep. I mean, SUV. It could be a swear word. SUV. You know, but I don't know. I've been having a lot of fun driving these cars lately. But I did drive a little Mercedes. It was the C350E. And I had the Mercedes C350E. I went to Pebble Beach in it. And, you know, it's a nice car. There's nothing wrong with the car. But here's what happens. And I think it happened to you in the Mazda CX-9. You get in a car and it just doesn't fit you. You know what I mean? It's like something about it. You know, I mean, every body has a different shape, every human being's body. Some have tall torsos, some have short torsos, some have long legs, some are like 5 foot fat like me, and I just got everything big. But I get in this car, and I felt like I was sitting on the floor.
Really?
And I went, what is going on? My legs are like straight out like I'm sitting on the floor. So I thought, all right, I'll lift the seat up. I lift the seat up, and all of a sudden, blink, I touch the ceiling. And I'm like, what is going on? Is this car purposely got me sitting really low on the floor? And it just does. That's the way it is. They want that car low and kind of cool looking, because, you know, that's the style these days. You kind of have a tall belt line the side of the car where you would normally stick your elbow out the window and, you know, and kind of be cool, have your arm out the window. Well, that's
and a really
high.
Steeply raked windshield, too. So you feel like the glass is at your nose, too. So
and I've got a knot on the right side of my head, because every time I got in that car, it's like, boom, I'm hitting my head on the windshield post. But it's a hybrid, so it had all these funky things it was doing. You turn it on, it's like all that happens is the air conditioning starts going. You're like, turn on, you stupid thing! You know, and then so it's like, oh, yeah, I forgot. It's a hybrid. Okay. So I put it in reverse, and then it's like the car goes, no, you forgot something. And it's like, what are you doing? I want to go backwards. So you give it gas. Oh, you got to take the emergency brake off. It sets it on its own, right?
Yeah.
All right. So this car was constantly like
nagging.
Honestly, it was like my friend named Tom. You know my friend Tom, right?
Yeah.
I'm always wanting to punch Tom in the throat. And I wanted to punch this car in the throat because it was always bugging me in one way or another. Lane departure warning signs. So I was like, oh, what are you doing, car? I want to change lanes. And the car's like, you didn't put your blinker on. And I'm like, oh, I try and turn that off, please. And then, like you said earlier, every time you turn the car on, it's all set back again. So you're right. What they're setting us up for is a car that drives itself autonomous. Yeah. And it's going to aggravate us until we finally say, fine, you drive.
That's basically what it is.
Right? So
it's like driving your mother-in-law around. Is that what you're saying?
No, my mother-in-law was awesome. She got two tickets in one night on one time we were coming back from Las Vegas.
That's like, a you thing.
I know. That's why I like her. Anyway, but God rest her soul. Anyway, so, the car, it's a fantastic car. It's a Mercedes-Benz. It's a wonderful car. It isn't the car. It's just ergonomics, things that fit me about this car, or don't fit me about that car. And this car in particular, it just didn't fit me well. I don't know why. So it's a fantastic machine. It has lots of bells and whistles, but it didn't fit me. And I think that's what happened with you on the Mazda,
well,
too.
Well, not me so much, but Scott, because he's like 5'10", 5'11". And the fact that, when he was driving it, because he likes to try the cars out too, he couldn't move the driver's seat back far enough. And so if you're not comfortable in that driving position, that's not good. Because you can't get comfortable, which means you're constantly fidgeting and you're not concentrating on your driving. So, that's an important factor. And I know how they measure these cars for basically the 90th percentile. Not everybody's built the same, exactly what you said. It's like the early Corvettes. I could never get comfortable in them because you needed really long legs. And if I was really close enough to where I could reach the pedals comfortably, the steering wheel was in my face. So I just hated them. Now, the newer Corvettes, they've solved that problem, but the previous one's just miserable for me.
Absolutely. And the moral of the story is, if you haven't got long legs, buy gigantic shoes with big fat heels on them and just, modify the way you look. Wear bell bottoms. No, the moral of the story is test drive a lot of cars before you buy one.
Yes.
It's kind of fun, what do you got to lose? Right? BJ, thank you.
My pleasure.
All right. We're going to take a little break. Find out. I don't even know who's on next. We'll find out. It's always a surprise. The producer doesn't even tell me. I'm going to get my golf clubs. We'll be right back.
Stay tuned. There's more of The Drive with Alan Taylor.
Have you ever tried to plan a vacation and the hotel costs, airfare, and pet sitter all add up to one big never mind? Well, it's time to embrace the adventure and go RVing instead. GoRVing.com is your one-stop shop for all things RV camping. Browse the different types of RVs, find a rental agent or dealer near you, and compare the costs. Explore more than 16,000 RV parks and campgrounds nationwide, and even plan your menus for the trip. Find out what you've been missing at GoRVing.com. That's GoRVing.com.
Well, yes.
I feel good.
Yes. I knew that I would now. Oh, yeah. Oh, I should not start singing. Don't get me going, but it's James Brown. You know how it is. I can't help myself. Ryan Moody's on the line, executive editor. He makes me feel good, feel nice. Ryan, thank you for joining us. How are you going to fix that, right?
I definitely won't sing.
Okay, fair enough. Brian Moody, everybody. He is the executive editor of Autotrader.com. Been around for a good long time. I started my automotive career using Autotrader, the paper edition. That's how old I am. And now they
remember
have
that?
I'll tell you what, man. I loved it. I remember discovering this thing called Autotrader. We're talking about, well, whenever it started, it's been a long time ago, let me just say. So the point is, I was young, and I was like, this is great. And now we have, yeah, you know, we have what it has become today. But if you guys don't know what it is, please go check out Autotrader.com. Brian, so can we talk trucks for a minute, brother?
Let's do that.
What do you got for me?
Here's what I got for you. I'm going to go out on a limb and say that I think the new GMC Sierra might be the best full-size pickup that there is.
Whoa.
Notwithstanding one thing, I'm going to give you, there's one caveat though. No truck can match the Ram's interior. So when you get the like Laramie Limited Ram,
yeah.
The deluxe edition of the Ram, they can't match that.
Really?
Other than that though, I think the new Sierra is really spectacular. It's not just a rebadged Silverado like before. Here's one thing, here's what I can't figure this out. Do you ever drive the Chevy Bolt, that electric car?
I have, yes.
Okay, you know how they have that video camera mirror where, yep, it switches back and forth between a real mirror or it's a video image from coming from a camera behind?
Right.
You know what I'm talking about?
Yep.
Right, so why did they debut that on the Chevy Bolt when where it really belongs is on a pickup truck?
Yes.
Because if you have a camper shell or a load in the back of your truck, you can't use the conventional mirror. Sierra has the thing where you flip it to video and now you can see behind that. That's just one example.
I was going to say, all right, let me just stop you for a minute.
Does that make sense, though?
No, it does. I get it. But you just said a massive statement that the 2019 GMC Sierra could be the best truck out there, which, by the way, I think a lot of people do think that GMC and Chevy are just the same truck with a different, you know, badging. So you're saying
they kind of have been.
Well, and they have been, correct. But there really is a difference. And, I you know, of course, you do pay more for a GMC, FYI, people. But I think it's the equivalent of professional grade versus prosumer. I don't know how to say that, but you know, there's kind of like a professional little something extra. Can I say that? And does it show up in this new version? Like what is the something extra?
Well, here's the something extra. I hate to do this because marketing people have ruined this word, but for one time in the history of mankind, it actually applies. They've reinvented the tailgate. I know that sounds awful because you and I go to these things and they always say things like, you know, we've reinvented the mag wheels. We've reinvented. No, you didn't. It's just nicer. You didn't reinvent. Right. But this with the tailgate. Okay, the tailgate has been the same for 100 years, basically.
Yep.
And maybe they added some lights. Maybe it goes up and down automatically.
Well, even a buckboard had a tailgate. Let's put it that way. So, yeah, it's been
there
around forever, right?
There you go. 100 years plus. Now it has all these different configurations where the top half will fold down separate from the rest of it. You can drop the bottom down to make it into a step. Here's the genius of what they've done. You ever been using a pickup truck and the tailgate is in the way? It disallows you from getting too close to the load to pull the stuff out easily. the center section of it drops down so that you can get closer to the load and, like, pull the stuff out. Plus, there's a step. Plus, there's Bluetooth speakers that you can get that go into the tailgate that, you know, sit down there. There's a handle.
Wait a minute, Brian, you're making this tailgate sound like origami.
I know, it sounds stupid. It sounds like, well, who cares? It's a tailgate. But I'm telling you, it's spectacular.
No, but you know when you have that origami thing that keeps changing shapes, right? Is that kind of what they've literally made it into, like a mechanical origami thing where you can do 50?
Yes, but like in five or six different ways. Wow. And every time you, this is the thing, is you get a bunch of people standing around going, oh, yeah, uh-huh, sure. And every time they do one thing, you're like, okay, so it has a step. Then they shape one more thing, and you're like, okay, well, then, and then one more thing.
Right.
And then this thing flips up here, and oh, and then one more thing. It's really,
Yeah.
No,
I can't wait to see it. I can't wait to try it.
Reinvented the tailgate.
That's a big one.
I'm not a marketing person.
Right. Now, what is the bed made out of? Because you know Ford went to aluminum and GM was talking about making like a carbon fiber bed. So what are they doing with the bed?
They do have a carbon fiber insert. Now, the whole thing is not made from carbon fiber. But what they have is a carbon fiber insert that doesn't dent, doesn't scratch, doesn't, it's lighter weight and all that kind of stuff. Now, with regard to that, I have to say, even when talking to the GMC people, I sort of suspect, because they didn't tell us the price for the carbon fiber bed, by the way, I sort of suspect that carbon fiber bed, although it will be more durable, and yes, it is lighter weight, I suspect 90% of the reason they have that is so GMC buyers can say, I got the carbon fiber bed. Yeah, what do you got? Carbon fiber bed right here, buddy. That's pretty much it. I mean, not to say that it doesn't work. It will be dent resistant. It will be scratch resistant. In 20 years, it'll probably be the nicest part of the truck, no doubt. But I feel like there's a part of it that's really about, well, yeah, I got the Hemi, so, you know, carbon fiber bed.
Or whatever newfangled power plant they have.
Exactly.
But what else was it about it? Was there one other thing? I mean, design, style, comfort, just
I think
personal?
It's better looking than the Silverado.
Yeah.
So there's that. I think it's better looking.
Yeah.
I like the way it drives. I even drove the SLT, which is not the Denali. I don't think the Denali is the one to get. I don't think it's nice as Ram inside. I think it's okay, but the SLT is nice. It still has the adaptive suspension, but it's no longer the magnetic kind, so it has a little bit more of a smoothness on the highway. Just feel like it has the it's the total package kind of thing.
Yeah,
not one thing you would add to it.
I have a friend that has the Denali, the GMC Denali, and he's a realtor guy, and he's like, he drives a Porsche 911 50th anniversary, $150,000 or whatever dollar car it is, you know, more than that maybe. And then he drives up in this GMC Denali truck, which is kind of top of the line. And I go, you driving a truck? He goes, I love it. So they're really, you know, they're putting that extra something special in there. And, you know, hats off to all these automakers these days that are building these fantastic trucks. I happen to be a truck guy.
It is pretty spectacular. I have to say, I kept searching for words other than reinvented for the tailgate because you know that the marketers have already, you know, ruined that one. But it's true.
All right. Let me ask
you.
We're going to go to break here. Where do people, is there a story about this yet at autotrader.com?
You can go to autotrader.com and search for the GMC Sierra, and you will find tons of stuff on that one.
And you test drove it in Newfoundland?
Newfoundland, yes, in Canada.
All right. That's an odd place. But anyway. All right, let's take a break. We're going to come back and talk more with Brian. He thinks the GMC Sierra is one of the most amazing trucks ever. So check out his story. I'm Alan Taylor. He's Brian Moody. This is The Drive. We'll be right back.
There are many words you could use to describe the new Kia Stinger GT. Stunning. Stylish. Sporty. The word breathtaking, however, isn't just an adjective. It's a warning. Because while the ability to go 0 to 60 in 4.7 seconds might take your breath away, going 60 to 0 with powerful Brembo brakes will help you catch it again. The 2018 Kia Stinger GT, fueled by youth. Stinger GT rear-wheel drive using launch control with factory-equipped 19-inch wheels. Results may vary. Do not attempt. Always drive safely.
This is The Drive with Alan Taylor.
Oh, our show brought to you in part by Subaru. Love. It's what makes a Subaru a Subaru. And Brian Moody joining us from Auto Trader, executive editor. What else you got for me, Brian?
Well, Well, okay, so you mentioned Subaru. You're sponsored by Subaru. I'm not, so I can say whatever I want. I can say all kinds of horrible things
if
I want.
Please be nice.
But I'm not going to say horrible things because the Subaru Crosstrek is new, and I got to tell you, there's this thing about the Crosstrek when on paper doesn't look like much, the horsepower, the interior, kind of sparse. There's just something about their cars that has this hard-to-define quality that's fun to drive, it's durable. It's kind of like this buddy who's, like, down for anything. Hmm. I don't know. I just think it's a really terrific car.
You mean it's like a buddy that you love, and that's why they say love? It's what makes a Subaru.
That's corny.
It worked, though. I made it work. I twisted it.
Yeah, it works. What are you going
to
do?
Well, you know what? I have not driven that yet, so I can't wait to get behind the wheel of the new Crosstrek. I've shown it on TV, but I have not yet been behind the wheel of a Crosstrek. But Subaru
has a quality.
I think they
call it Vision à sec quoi.
Yeah, right. Exactly. And with some butter on it, it's delicious. Okay.
Yes.
Electric used vehicles. A friend of mine comes to me the other day and he says, hey, what do you think about that? And I go, ooh, the battery cost and ooh, this and that. And what do you guys think about used electric cars?
So we just come up with a list of the best, you know, used car, electric car bargains. And these are on Auto Trader, so you can go find those. It's really shocking at what a great deal you can get. And I'll just give you a couple of examples. You know, and this is for someone who's already going to get an electric car anyway. The BMW i3, okay, new, it's a $40,000, $50,000 car. You can get used ones, 2-3 years old, all day long for $20,000. Mm. Right now, there's one on Auto Trader that's a 2015 for $14,900.
What?
With 30,000 miles on it.
What?
Those cars appreciate like crazy. Do not buy a new i3.
Right.
Buy a used one. It's a great electric car, but it's not worth $50,000.
Well, from what I heard, by the way, they drive like BMWs because they are BMWs.
They do.
Yeah.
They absolutely do. And they have by far one of the nicest interiors in any electric car you're ever going to see. Now, does that make it worth $50,000? No. Get a used one, you get one for $20,000.
Right.
Same with the Leaf. If you get the preview, now there's a new Leaf out, right? So everyone's talking about the new one. Get the previous generation one. You can get one of those for $10,000 if you find one with the right miles. And most of these cars, here's the thing with the batteries. Yeah, it's a risk, but most of these cars, even the Prius, even some of the plug-in hybrids, they have a much longer warranty on the batteries and the hybrid system than for the rest of the car. So make sure that that applies before you go buy one. On Auto Trader, we found a Tesla Model S for $38,000. Well, that's a very expensive car normally. You're not going to get it for $40,000, but here you go.
Right.
44,000 miles, $38,000.
Well, here in my world is where I rely on you guys. Because there's no possible way any one of us can do all the research at a giant organization like Cox Automotive, which owns Auto Trader and Kelley Blue Book and
Manheim Auction
and Manheim.
And tons of stuff.
You know, yeah. So if you take all that data and you crunch that data and you can send, kind of the troops out into the field to do these research. So you're saying this is a best used electric car study that you did, and is it available?
It's a list. It's a list of cars that we went and looked on the site to see what were our favorites, which ones did we like. So we like the Fiat 500e. It's an electric Fiat. You can get one of those 2, 3, 4 years old for $10,000. Wow. That's a great deal for an electric car that's not going to cost you money in gas. We even found one for $7,000, and it only has 31,000 miles on it.
Good Lord.
So the battery's not going to go out for a while, and most of them have longer than usual warranties. I would take a look at that, and anyone looking to get a used car bargain, look for a BMW i3. Amazing car.
And by the way, I think that this is a really good time to talk about, buying a extended warranty program. A lot of the dealers, and if you buy a certified pre-owned, but a lot of the manufacturer dealers, if you go to a Fiat store and there's a Fiat there, they all have these extended warranties. All I can say on a vehicle like that, in today's world with the $100-plus an hour labor rates, that right there is a good investment.
I would totally get the extended warranty. Now, if you have the certified pre-owned, you don't need to buy an additional warranty, but I would at least look for a way to get coverage for the next couple of years so that you're minimizing your risk. But not only that, but the certified pre-owned programs, they won't put their name on it unless it passes their inspection. That's worth looking into.
Right. No good deal. I bought the 96-month extended bumper-to-bumper warranty on my Demon. And the president of Dodge calls me and he goes, I'm going to void your warranty. I said, go ahead. I bought the extended warranty. You do whatever you want. He laughed. Brian Moody, you're so funny. Autotrader.com. You can find his stories and all what's going on there. And a lot of the scribblings are his and his team. Autotrader.com. Brian, thank you, brother. Good talking to you.
Thanks.
All right. I'm Alan Taylor. That's it for me this week. Time for a soda pop. See you next week.
If the measure of a car was how many people it turned into people who love cars, the Subaru Outback would be worth its weight in gold, thanks largely to its symmetrical all-wheel drive. Unlike other systems that wait for a wheel to slip, it powers all four wheels all the time, all while with better fuel economy than midsize SUVs. And the fact that the Outback is made in a zero landfill plant doesn't hurt either. It's a car that is truly built to be loved. Love. It's what makes a Subaru a Subaru.